In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Oh, yes. Let's talk a little movies here like we do on Monday afternoons. It's Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue, Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Alan Adams of The Main Edge joins us. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, too.
Thank you. Thank you. How was your weekend?
It was good. Yeah, it was a little busy. Like, did some holiday stuff. Like, went out and got our tree.
Ooh.
Like, we haven't decorated yet, but
you get a real tree?
Yeah. Sheridan and I both feel fairly strongly that that the real tree is the way to go. Someday I may decide that the convenience of bringing something down from the attic as opposed to going yes. out and tracking one down. You know, the pros may outweigh the cons someday, but we're not there yet. So,
yeah. How's Stella do with the tree?
Oh, she's fine. Yeah. The biggest issue she has is because of the way we set it up, it's basically blocking the window through which she barks at the mailman.
Ooh.
So she's a little irritated that she can't that she can't hold off the murderers that are constantly trying to get into our house quite so effectively.
Oh,
but
sure.
You know, she makes do.
It's all about protecting the family.
Oh, for sure.
Good show. I understand I was unable to make it because I was under the weather. But Friday night back at BAE, Bangor Arts Exchange, and a good focus group show.
Yeah, it was. We did a sort of a holiday themed show. It's our last one of the year. We did the ballroom there at BAE and had a great time. Like it was a really fun show. The crowd was nice. We probably had 40, 45 people there, like a good solid crowd, especially considering we're going up against a Beauty and the Beast preview and the Friends of the Cross Center Gala, which
right.
it was one of those things where I was pleasantly surprised at the robust turnout.
Very cool. Do we have one scheduled?
Nope.
Sometimes.
Yeah, we'll get
January,
there.
January, probably.
Yeah, we'll lock in some dates starting next year here. But through the end of 2017, I think we're probably calling it good.
Good. That sounds fine. Let's talk movies. You saw two. You saw Just Getting Started and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. One good, one not so much.
That is a very kind way of putting it. Which one would you like to start with?
Oh, I leave that up to you.
Okay, well, let's just get started with Just Getting Started.
Yeah, why not?
Which is one of the... I don't want to go so far as to call it one of the worst movies that I saw this year. Just because, you know, at least bad movies... Like, it wasn't... I don't know, it's like nobody cared enough for it to be that bad, if that makes sense. And it's funny because there's actually a solid pedigree here. The cast includes Morgan Freeman's in it, Tommy Lee Jones, Rene Russo is in it, and written and directed by Ron Shelton. I mean, there's I was like, oh, Ron Shelton. Like, I love Ron Shelton. And then I look at IMDb and it's like, oh, Ron Shelton hasn't done anything in like 15 years.
I did love him 30 years ago. He was awesome.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's like Bull Durham's a great movie. It's pretty clear why he wasn't doing anything. Just Getting Started. It's the story of a gentleman by the name of Duke Diver, played by Morgan Freeman, who is the resident manager of a California sort of retirement community. And he also apparently has a very shady past, which we find out in the very first scene where a New Jersey mob wife, played by Jane Seymour, is shouting on the phone that he needs to be killed. And so it's like, oh, okay, so he clearly got up to some shenanigans somewhere along the way. Meanwhile, he's this big man on campus, wandering around, you know, with his gaggle of cronies and a sort of a harem of lusty elderly ladies, and really living the life until a mysterious newcomer shows up by the name of Leo, played by Tommy Lee Jones, who turns out to be quite a Renaissance man himself and is literally better at everything than Duke is. Duke takes this as a challenge, and then there are there's conflict, as conflict tend to rise up in this sort of situation, I guess. Meanwhile, there are various poorly executed attempts on Duke's life, and the two of them find themselves thrust together in an effort to save Duke's life, and what starts off as a rivalry becomes a reluctant friendship. Meanwhile, Rene Russo is there as a woman from the corporate office that controls the retirement community, and she's there to check the books, and it turns out that Duke has been up to some shenanigans on that side of things too, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was remarkable how boring this movie was. And don't get me wrong.
Given your description.
I got no problem with the sort of old person shenanigans movie. Like, actors of a certain age, you know, they got to eat too. I understand. I'm clearly not the target audience for a movie like this, and that's fine. But give me something. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just narratively, it was really uninteresting. Like, there's the holes in the plot you could drive a truck through, extended periods where nothing really happens. Morgan Freeman mugging away in a way that's just, it's just like, come on, Morgan, you're better than this. Meanwhile, Tommy Lee Jones could not care less about what he's doing in this movie. I think he, at some point in the last 5 years or so, I believe he's completely lost the ability to emote. I don't know if it's Botox or if something happened tragic in his life or what, but I don't believe he feels feelings anymore. Rene Russo is way too good to be here, but for whatever reason, she's been struggling to find work in recent years, so I'm glad she got something. And the remarkable thing is, in the supporting cast, there are all these sort of these names that you sort of recognize. Glenn Headey is in it. Joe Pantoliano. George Wallace is in this movie.
Wow.
You know, it's just like, and it's like, oh, so everybody, you know, needs work. And that's, I mean, I get it. But at the same time, it's like, I wish you could just be in something a little bit better. I will say, not one, but two weirdly incongruous car chases in this movie. And a lot of scenes that were clearly shot like on sound stages or something, like completely separate from other actors. Like, I don't think Jane Seymour actually even met anyone else in the cast. Whereas you have like extended scenes that are just Tommy Lee Jones and Morgan Freeman in the cab of a pickup truck. And then they cut to wide shots of a slow moving chase across the desert or whatever. But it's one of those things where it's like, it's bad, but it's not even bad enough to enjoy. Like, you can't even like sort of hate watch it. It's just like, you just kind of feel bad for everybody.
Yeesh. All right. Well, let's talk about something better. And that would be Frances McDormand, who I love, in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
I love this movie. Stories of loss are really tough to tell on the big screen, like finding ways to convey that kind of notion of grief without succumbing to sentimentality or devolving into the sort of maudlin. It's difficult, like no matter how good a filmmaker you are. But Martin McDonagh, who he did In Bruges, he did Seven Psychopaths, incredibly talented. Just kills it here. He's such a gifted filmmaker, and he has that wonderful combination of real and genuine empathy for the human condition and a pitch black sense of humor, and you put those two things together and there's a chance for something special to happen. And that's what happens here in this movie. Mildred Hayes, played by Frances McDormand, who is just phenomenal in this movie. She's a divorced mother living in a small town, Ebbing, Missouri. 7 months ago, her daughter was brutally murdered, and there's no suspect. They haven't done anything as far as advancing the case in the investigation, and so out of frustration, she goes to the local ad guy and buys and purchases. Rents these three billboards that are on an old road that, you know, now that the highway's there, nobody really travels down it or whatever. So they're in disrepair. There hasn't been anything on them for 30 years or whatever. She rents these billboards and basically puts up this message calling out the Ebbing Police Department, specifically the chief of police, Chief Willoughby, about the lack of progress in the investigation. Well, as you can imagine, in a small town, that sort of thing really rubs people the wrong way. Chief Willoughby himself, played by Woody Harrelson, who's also great here, is actually fairly empathetic. Like he sympathizes with her plight and tries to explain to her the realities of the circumstances. But she's so angry and she's so hurt that you know sometimes the irrational action is the only one that makes you feel better. So she's there. Meanwhile, you've got guys on the force, particularly this guy Dixon, played by Sam Rockwell, who is always good, but maybe never better than this.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Like he's really great. Who's kind of a racist, kind of a thug, kind of a jerk, and he basically wants to try to strong arm her into taking the billboards down. Meanwhile, the rest of the town, whether you're talking about her son, played by Lucas Hedges, who is basically the teenage boy in every excellent prestige movie that's going these days. The chief's wife, played by Abby Cornish, who's also great. There's the advertising salesman, played by Caleb Landry Jones, and a potential love interest for Mildred, a local used car salesman, played by Peter Dinklage, who's only in like three scenes, but absolutely steals every one of them. He's fantastic. But as these billboards stay up, more and more people are kind of forced to confront the feelings they have, whether it's, this idea that the law can do no wrong, or they should be doing more, and it kind of creates this dividing line, and things escalate to an extent that I don't think anyone, not even Mildred, really expected it to happen. And there are some tragic consequences, both direct and indirect, to the actions that she's taken. It's like I don't even know how to articulate how just compelling this movie is. It's the notion of telling a story like this, a very real, very visceral kind of story, and treating the idea of loss and grief with honesty but brutal honesty, like in a very gut punch kind of way, while still finding places to make these really dark jokes, but they're so dark, but they're so funny because the tension is constantly just there. Like it's not like it's not like you're like an overtuned guitar string or anything. It's very, very much a low key kind of, but constant tension as you watch as these events unfold, and you're rooting for people, and you find your rooting interests shifting over the course of the story being told. And it's one of those things where it doesn't ever really feel like people are getting what they actually want, which is tough. That's a tough sell when it comes to a movie, but McDonough's got such a talent for storytelling that he really makes it work. And granted, it's a lot easier to pull something like that off when you have just a top shelf cast. Frances McDormand, I know you said that she's one of your favorites. She's so good in this movie, Rich. She's so just angry and vulnerable at the same time with this sort of rawness, and you just imagine someone who's spent months upon months just dwelling on this horrible, horrible thing that just sort of tore your life apart, and finally waking up one morning with this ridiculous, ludicrous idea, and you're like, yes, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to try to find some sort of closure, whatever closure that might be. And then you've got someone like Harrelson, who is it's funny, and I say this every time I see him in a movie, it seems like, but I forget how good he is.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, he's one of our most underrated talents.
He's just so, and he's so strong here because he resists his tendency towards bombast. Like, he tends to go big a lot, and he kind of inverts that in this role in a way. Like, you get a couple of, like, explosions almost, but he internalizes stuff into such a degree that it's like he's almost a different guy, and it really works for this character, especially the sort of dynamic between him and between McDormand. And then you've got Rockwell, who, man, like he's one of those guys who just goes for it. He's unbelievably committed to whatever his character is, and it's, he does so to such an extent that you find yourself like not just like, you know, from a remove, like being like, oh, that guy's a jerk. You're just like, you're genuinely, you're like, oh, that guy sucks. Oh, he's just the worst. But he also has this ability to take these seemingly like, you know, unlovable, unlikable people, and imbuing them with this sort of this spark, this like this glimpse of soul that just that makes them feel like they should be one dimensional, but in his hands they're not. And it's one of those things where he's it's a rare thing to be able to do that. And I feel like he does that kind of on the regular. But yeah, I believe he was on the Golden Globes list today as well for best supporting actor, and well deserved because he's just fantastic. But I mean, just everyone in the cast, you know, Abbie Cornish is great. Dinklage is, again, I can't stress enough, phenomenal. There's a scene where he and McDormand,
and happy not to be wielding a sword,
you know? Right? You know, and it's just like, and it's one of those things where I feel for Peter Dinklage only because there's always going to be that sort of that addendum to whatever performances he gives. But the reality is, like, he's in this movie because of his talent. He's not in this movie because he happens to be a little person.
Right.
And that makes a huge difference. And it's one of those things where it's like he's got to be grateful for those opportunities, because I imagine they're fairly few and far between. But yeah, you put it all together, and it's one of those things where you have a movie that absolutely deserves every plaudit it is undeniably going to get. It's a story that just understands the fact that sometimes desperate and irrational actions are the only ones that are worth taking.
It was our motivation for starting this show. good stuff there from Alan Adams of The Main Edge. Pass the popcorn, especially enjoyable this time of year when the good ones come out.
Oh, and it's one of those things where it's like it's all good ones or real bad ones.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's just a delight.
No middle ground. We love it. Thank you, Alan.
Oh, my pleasure.
Alan Adams of The Main Edge with Pass the Popcorn every Monday on the program, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue.